Hey, welcome to Behind the Scenes with Sonda, a podcast with a focus on tackling the challenges in the healthcare billing world. I'm your host, Sonda Kunze, and I'm here to share about the real issues in healthcare billing. On this podcast, I'll be talking about the challenges that face providers every day when dealing with these large insurance carriers, showcasing the barriers that have to be overcome just to get paid. I have over 30 years experience in all aspects of the business side of healthcare. And with my expertise, I hope to provide you with some critical information and support regarding the world of healthcare billing. Together, we can make an impact. So let's dive in. Hey there. Today's podcast is about note bloat. We want to eradicate this disease process. And really, that's supposed to be funny. But anyway, we're talking about what we see in documentation and especially in evaluation and management codes. And for those of you who are listening in that may not know what that is, it's basically an office visit. It's every time you go to see a provider, a physician, nurse practitioner, PA, they're office notes. And we, people in the industry who are auditors or coders, are often called in to look at these office notes to make sure that they meet the guidelines of the actual service that was billed to the insurance carrier. So in that, we are constantly reviewing notes that we call note bloat, which means that there's so much information in the note for that particular visit that is cloudy to anyone reviewing it. What actually took place during the time that you were with your provider? And this is historically brought on by electronic medical records. Really, we can't say it came either way. How many of you out there in your minds are auditors or coders and would say to yourself or to the providers you were auditing, would you have written this in the medical record by hand? Because if you remember way back when, and even in my time, that's scary to say, physicians, again, wrote the notes on a piece of paper that then got put in a medical record. Either that or they dictated it and got transcribed. The thing about that was that they basically, if they were dictating, only said what they felt was necessary. If they were writing in the documentation, they only wrote what was absolutely necessary because basically they didn't want to write too much. Who does when you're writing information? We're so happy that computers came around and Word will correct all of our errors and things like that. But in general, when electronic medical records came around, the problem is that the folks who are implementing it, and this goes out about all EMRs that I have seen, generally speaking, if I have myself been involved with an implementation team that a provider or a clinic or a group brought in, notoriously, that group does not include a coder or auditor. Why is that so important? Because we're the folks who look at the record, who challenge it in terms of making sure that that provider is protected. You know, a lot of us aren't doing the audits to be critical of the providers. We're doing audits to help the providers. Many times when I meet with physicians, I will say, I'm trying to help you be bulletproof. And that sounds kind of dramatic, but basically what we're saying is, I'm going to look at your record. I'm going to give you feedback that I think that Medicare would be looking for, that a commercial carrier would be looking for to help support your documentation. And in that, we have to be so careful because we can't read into what the provider was trying to say. We can't assume that it was more complex. We cannot lead the provider in what they need to write in the medical record. It has to be education to bring forth what's in their clinical brains. So getting it into the medical record in such a fashion that it is brief, yet very descriptive. So prior to 2021, when we first had EMRs come out, they were starting to build the electronic medical record with the items they knew would reach a higher level of code. And so, again, what do we mean by this? So there would be things that a physician would do. Let's say they're asking questions of the patients. From an auditor's perspective, we call this review of systems. If you are a patient, that is when either the provider or an ancillary staff comes in and says, have you had any headaches with this? Any visual disturbances? Is there any pain? Maybe it's about your knee or your elbow or whatever the case is. Did you fall? What does it feel like? Is it sharp? Is it dull pain? There was all these questions asked of you, and that was a review of systems. So what the electronic medical records company started to do is build the most complex review of systems, and then physicians, clinics, hospitals started to bring those into the notes in a comprehensive fashion. Some people were conscientious enough to try to train their physicians, like, you have to delete what you haven't done here. We may dump this in as a manner of trying to make this easy for you. But when they would find out that they needed all of those in order to reach a higher level, unfortunately, many providers, not all, right? We don't want to stereotype here or make all providers look bad. But this is in general about 60, 70% of what happened was these electronic records got built with a higher complexity level of service requirement, and that actually didn't happen. So a great example would be, for example, if you had a sprained ankle and you were going to your family practice, and the family practice provider's documentation had a list of review of systems where they were asking things in the gastro, it would be documented. Do you have any abdominal pain or denies abdominal pain? There would be other things, maybe neurologic, even like GU, genital urinary, would have something next to it that would seem clinically inappropriate. And we really have to be careful, because I think there's a way that we always say to providers, hey, I didn't go to medical school. However, this is kind of looking off to me. So when I ask you this, did you actually ask these questions? That's just saying to the provider, hey, I see this particular set of questions in every single note. And usually the answer is, yes, that's the way the template is built. That's the way I was told to do it. Many things come into play. So again, I think it's We can't blame the providers. We can't blame the electronic medical records folks. We got to look at everything and see what the unintended consequences were to creating electronic medical record templates that are pre-built that providers were able to use in order to do documentation. What I really love is that the changes in 2021 removed a lot of that burden. What I don't love is the fact that I would tell you 80% of the providers we are still auditing out from our group is using these old legacy documentation templates. These are gone. Gone are the days where you need what we call 10 review systems and a comprehensive exam. That is no longer required. For those of you who are not in auditing, we're just basically saying that there are different levels of office visits that reflect a complexity of what the presenting problem is. So for example, you could have a patient who has chest pain. That's pretty severe. One might think that that's not as severe as maybe trying to figure out if somebody has a sprained ankle or a broken ankle. Really, chest pain could indicate a heart attack. It could indicate other things. It could indicate anxiety. Somebody who has chest pain may end up in the emergency room. So those are different levels of complexity, and in that probably at the most, least descriptive that I could tell you about, just to, for those that are listening in that don't know what we're talking about when we say, oh, a complete exam and a review of systems get you a higher level of service. It's all in the way that these documentation templates were utilized when they were built in the systems for these providers to use. So note bloat is still going on. I feel like we're going to soldier on and find the right medication to eradicate this. From my perspective, the right medication is training, 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 retraining, always meeting with your providers, do your training, proactively review your own records, go back and train them on anything that they're doing. And remember, they are the physician. So clinically, we can't tell them what to put. We don't want to put words in there on their medical records that aren't reflective of what the patient's showing. And if you have an honest conversation with these providers and just say, look, all you need to document is what you addressed today, how you addressed it, what brought that patient in to see you, what your assessment is of the diagnosis, and then again, how you're going to treat it and move on. We don't need all of these other things that we told you years ago, prior to 2021, that you needed. Yes, we used to say you needed this, you needed a social history, you needed a family history. And basically on a new patient, those providers that walk through those things, your family history, social history, those they feel are clinically relevant. And really, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about note bloat for the patient that continues to come back. So we're talking about, let's just say, a patient who has hypertension, who is returning every 3 months for a little bit until the provider can get them under control with their medication in that time period. And so that's what we're talking about. There shouldn't be 19 pages to identify those follow-up visits. I don't care who you are. That is too much information and not necessary. And there's nothing worse for auditors to have to go through 19, 20 pages of an office visit to try to determine what actually happened on that day. I've seen it in psychotherapy notes. I've seen it in E&Ms. I've seen it in other services. So we're not just talking about office visits themselves. Note bloat can happen in just about any service. You need to make sure you understand the guidelines of what is needed to demonstrate that the service was actually provided. And you don't need to make what we should say Encyclopedia Britannica to cover yourself. That's not necessary. Literally just saying what happened during the encounter is correct, and it's the right way to do it. Get with a coder, an auditor who is trained and understands what these things are. The AMA did a great thing in 2021 when they just decided, and it's through, you know, of course, there were acts involved in terms of the federal government of reducing the burden of documentation. But in general, the AMA, who writes the CPT codes and the descriptions and things like that, came in and said, okay, these are the items that are needed. It's on medical decision-making of the provider or time spent. We're only talking about note bloat today because that is a podcast in itself on medical decision-making or time. We're just talking about today those crazy notes we're reading that are so long that we just want to put an end to. So I hope if you're a provider and you're listening that you tap into a coder and auditor and say, how can I better take care of my notes? How can I document only those things that I need? Work with your electronic software vendors to make sure that they understand that they don't need all of these items. And let's make it easier for providers to communicate the actual things that are happening during these encounters that they're with their patients and make things better. So help me and all of those folks out there eradicate the disease of note bloat. Let's get rid of it together and cut back on documentation and making sure it is valuable. It can be just as valuable brief as it is a very long list of things. And in fact, like I said, it's not great for an auditor to try to have to go through 19 pages to find a 20-minute encounter and what happened. Hope you enjoyed this session. Remember to follow us and tune in later for the next thing that we talk about here behind the scenes. Thank you so much for listening to Behind the Scenes with Sonda. Remember, you can make a difference by sharing this podcast with others who are experiencing the same struggles. The more we reach, the more chances we have to create a community of like-minded people who want to impart change to the business side of healthcare. If you love this episode, please don't forget to rate and review. Until next time, stay curious, stay inspired, and keep learning.